Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Dr. Carl, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Ah, ever so peachy keen. Lovely to talk with you, Dr. Howard.
Nice to speak to you. So we're going to talk about dogs, man's best friend. And definitely they are. How long have we been besties, us and dogs?
We're pretty sure that it began about 23,000 years ago in Siberia.
Right.
And then the dogs shifted one direction to the Americas over the land bridge because we're in the middle of an ice age. And in the other direction over to Eurasia. The first hard proof we have is a burial site in Germany, 15,000 years old, where there's a man and a woman and their dog all buried together. And then we roll forward a long way forward until we get to 200 years ago, where most of the modern 450 or so breeds that we have started being bred, and they've got different body shapes and head shapes and behavior and personality, and also can work as work dogs. And so they've been with us for so long that they have shifted from being a pure carnivore, in other words, a creature that eats only meat, into a creature that can eat meat and carbohydrates. And the way they did this was by evolving enzymes such as amylase, which can digest carbohydrates. However, they still need to eat flesh to get their minimum amount of vitamin D.
And have we ruined dogs? You know, you see these things on Instagram or TikTok where you know, you've got this pooch lying being very, very much pampered. And, you know, somebody say, you know, you need to get out there and hunt for your supper in days that's gone by. That's what you would have done. And you just look at this pampered pet and you wonder how it can even walk on its own.
We have gone remarkably silly with dogs to the extent that dogs have their own gumboots, hotels, yoga classes, beaches, trainers, therapists, emotional trainers. So, and even their own seatbelts in cars, which kind of makes sense. We do know that the difference between the dog and the wolf from which it came is at least 11 genes which are different, which deal with two major attributes. One is that the dog has got less of a flight and fight reflex. It's less likely to get angry, but it's also got more emotional processing. And with regard to the emotional processing, then it gets kind of weird because the dogs process human voices in the same part of the brain that the human brain uses to process human voices. And we've now found that if you and a dog do a thing called mutual gaze, so you look lovingly at your dog and your dog looks loving at you, if it's a female dog, but not a male dog, we don't know why, if you, male or female, look at your female dog, both of you will get an increase in the hormone, the love hormone called oxytocin.
That's unbelievable. But only a female dog.
We don't know why. And also, if you go through a range of things leading up to patting a dog, the more you go up that range, the more that part of your brain is activated where you manage social and emotional areas. So either you stare at a white wall, or you look at your dog, or you just simply put your hand on your dog, or you actually pat and stroke your dog, and the more you get involved, the more your social and emotional areas light up in your brain. And this is on a background that we already know that the more time you spend with dogs, it leads to two things. One is a decrease in the things that indicate stress, such as heart rate, blood pressure, cortisol, and an increase into not just chemicals, but neurochemicals that are related to affiliation and bonding, chemicals such as beta endorphin, prolactin, oxytocin. And we've also worked out what you should do with regard to a dog wagging its tail. Because sometimes if you're looking at a dog and the dog has its teeth bared and its body's all stiff and its tail stiff and it's growling at you, you obviously know I'm keeping away. But if a dog's wagging its tail, every now and then, it will still bite you. And how do you know when it's safe? And here comes the way you do it.
Mm.
You look at the dog along the center line of its body. If the dog's tail spins more time and swings further to the dog's right side of its own body,
mm-hmm.
then it's all right to pat the dog. But if the dog's tail swings more to the dog's left side
That's
of its body, then you should
keep away.
The dog is best left alone. See how I've managed to put in a little mnemonic there, a memory aid?
Yes.
Right is all right, and left means left alone.
That is, and it's a dog's right.
It's a dog's right and a dog's left. And we also know the dog's vision
yes.
is different from ours, not just in the fact that they've only got two color receptors instead of three. We've got one for red, green, and blue. All they've got is for yellow and blue. But also, we humans, we are really interested in things when we look around the world, like the
right.
couch or the ball, whereas the dog is more interested in actions, jumping onto the couch, picking up the ball. And the record for a dog being able to have intelligence is that there was one dog that had the memory of 200 names, 200 separate names, the couch, the ball, the racket, the chair, the car. And we had another dog which had 1,000 words, and some of them were nouns, and some of them were actions like sit and jump and run and catch and so forth.
Right. Absolutely.
But they were both border collies, and apparently they were the smartest dogs that we've found so far.
Wow. So it's just an amazing thing how we've connected with animals. Are there different breeds? You know, we often say that owners of dogs look the same as their pets. Are we attracted to animals or pets or dogs that actually look similar to us?
We think, we're not sure, that over a period of time, we begin to look more similar.
Right.
Because if you live with somebody, you begin to look a little bit like them and vice versa, because you laugh and talk and think in the same way.
Right.
Now, dogs have got three sorts of heads. They've got a short, squashed head, like a human head, with not much of a nose.
Right.
And the advantage is that they look more like us, so we think they're cute, but they have such difficulty in breathing sometimes. Secondly, they can be a bit longer, and thirdly, they can be just a regular dog.
Right.
And so we tend to find them more attractive if they look more like us. But also, we find dogs more attractive when they tear up and well up with tears. So we've actually done an experiment where we've got some dogs and separated them from people for about 6 hours. And they will cry, and I'm saying cry in the sense of not actually overflowing with tears, but just welling up and getting more moist. They'll cry more when reunited with their owners as compared to somebody they know who's not their owner. And maybe this goes way back, where in the early days the dog that happened to well up more in his eyes would get adopted by a human and given better care. Because after all, we know today that humans rate photos of dogs with wet eyes more highly than photos of dogs with less wet eyes.